Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
I didn't have it turned on. All right. Welcome, everyone. I do that to keep our sound guys on their toes. Because they like to show up drinking. All right, so good to have you guys here. My name's Marty. I'm one of the pastors, and glad that you're here with us on a Sunday morning. It's football season, kickoff today, and God, being rich in mercy, gave us some football weather today, right? So I need 20 other guys after the service meet me out in the parking lot for a tackle football game on the cement. All right, here we go. Hey, I'm glad that you're here. You should have received a bulletin when you came in. Don't forget, you can also receive our e-bulletin. It's just in the lobby. There's a little stand there that has a QR code on it. You scan it, and you'll have the bulletin with you at all times. So we're trying to cut down on some of the paper that we're printing. So make sure you pick that up. Once you scan it, if you hit on your scanner every week, it should just upload the next bulletin to you. So if you're a guest and never filled out one of our information forms, if you wouldn't mind doing that, if you're on the e-bulletin, you can just click on the link and it will do the same thing for you there. You can fill that out. And a couple things I want to draw your attention to. This is the last weekend for the Bethmore conference that is taking place on Saturday, September 14th. So ladies, you have to sign up today. You will not be disappointed in it, all right? So I want to encourage you ladies on the way out in the lobby, see the table out there with the women's ministry ladies around it. They'll get you signed up and get you going. And then next week we're starting an extremely important class on ministering or praying for other people. And that's going to take place at 10 o'clock out in the lobby all the way around to the back. And it is going to look at things such as the kingdom of God. What does it mean? What does it look like? How does it apply to us? How to pray for individuals, and it's going to kind of walk you through all of that stuff. It is a great course for you, especially if you want to mature in your faith. And so I want to ask next week, you can sign up for that through your bulletin, but next week at 10 o'clock, you will be out in the lobby. We'll have a smaller crowd in here, but it'll be well worth your time. And then we'll offer that next year as well, maybe two times next year. So make sure if you're interested in that, you sign up for that ministry training class. Read through your bulletin. There's a lot of other things going on and things for you to get involved with, some new community groups, some possible community groups, divorce care that we're looking at. We need to know who would be interested in that. So make sure you take a look through your bulletin, sign up what you need to, and we'll go from there. Well, we're on the sixth message of our series called B-Slap, Hard Sayings from the Book of James. Well, we are exploring critical passages in the Epistle of James. And if this is your first time here, if you've never read the Book of James, you will not know that his epistle is not always easy to read. He is direct and almost confrontational. He challenges us to evaluate our actions based upon the wisdom and insight and truth of God. And so if you're ready, we're going to jump back in and see if James is going to throw another B-slap, a Bible slap of truth our way. So join me as we pray. Lord, we're going to hear some hard words today, but they are just soaked in your truth. And so I would pray that you would lower our defenses, that you would lower just our ideas of being convinced that we're right in a particular situation. I pray that you would be speaking to us and that our own ideas, preconceived notions, all of this that we bring into today's subject would not be able to keep your truth from penetrating into our lives. And so I invite you, Holy Spirit, speak with your truth in every situation and every heart today. Lord, and for the offering, Lord, I pray that you would bless all who are giving and let it go towards who you are, that as a church we would be able to help one another, help those in our community, those outside of our community as well. And we ask that you would bless the offering, we pray. In the name of Jesus, wonderful name. Amen. James, he asks a really difficult question in chapter 4. He comes right out and he says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? He says, what causes the disagreements and the hostility and the friction among us? What does that look like? Why is it that you can't get along with certain people? Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe relationship conflict seems to follow you wherever you go, and you have a new friend and things are going really well and everything seems to be hitting stride, and then all of a sudden it's only a matter of time before the bottom drops out and the feud begins and the Hatfield McCoys, they have fired up all over again. We're all kinds of problems in the relationship. And James asks the question, what is the cause of the discord, the strife, and the fighting among us? He's writing to Christians. What is the cause of it? Now I'm going to ask that you do not tune me out today, because this question that James asks deserves some thought and some discussion. Because here's what I know today. Let's just be honest. All of us can point to someone who we really just don't like, right? I mean, we all have someone that we really just don't like. We don't get along with. It might be a family member and you're dreading Thanksgiving because it's going to start. It's not my family, but my wife has some people in her family, right? We all have someone that we can point to. It might be a family member for you. It might be an on and off again friend. It might be a neighbor who doesn't seem to understand that his stuff needs to stay on his property. It's always coming over to your side, including trees and garbage and whatever else. And you know, maybe that's your person, or it's a coworker who's always taking credit for your ideas, or maybe they're next to you right now. Don't look. Just they know it's them. Maybe they're across the room. Maybe you're on this side and they're on that side. And I get people. It's one of the good things about having 1,300 seats in the space that we rent, because people will come to me and say, well, so-and-so, we got in this argument and I don't want to see them anymore at church and I might have to go somewhere else. And my response is, pick another seat. There's 1,300. They can sit there. You can sit there. You'll never see each other. And so maybe the person is in this room and it's unspoken, or maybe it's outspoken, but you know there's someone you just don't get along with. And James says, what's the source of the quarrels among you? Now, here's what I know. If I was to ask you that question, and if you had an opportunity to speak, you would give an answer that would be very similar to my answer and to every answer in this room. What we would do is we would say, well, here's the cause of the conflict, and we would immediately go to the circumstances, hear me, that surround the conflict. She doesn't listen, he's too stubborn, they broke a promise, took credit for something that was mine, said something behind my back, took something, never returned it, ungrateful, didn't invite me, didn't call me, something happened, let me down. We would go to the circumstances that are surrounding the conflict. Somehow, that's where it would go. And James says this to us. He says, I don't think that's the problem. James says, no. So see, you like to look at the circumstances, but I'm going to lay some truth on you, because James says, it's time that we grow up and mature and take a step forward in our emotional and spiritual growth. And James says, blaming all of your relationship conflict on circumstances, that the problem is that circumstances are not the root. And so he prods us to look a little bit deeper. He says, I want you to look beyond the he said, she said, they should have but didn't, and they promised and didn't do it, and you never. He says, forget about all the circumstances and look deeper. And then I want you to keep looking past the circumstances until you get to the root. And he says, what is the cause of it? And this word actually, it means origin. He says, I want you to get to the origin. And so I'm asking you the question that James is asking you. What is the origin of your conflict? Where did it all start? Where did it begin? And don't go to, well, they started talking behind my back, and let's see, because James is, no. That's not the origin. Stop filling in gaps with circumstances, because that's not really what it's all about. So I have some good news and some bad news. I'm going to give you the bad news first. The bad news is what James is about to say to us is not going to make us happy. All right, it's gonna push us and it's gonna cause issues with some of us, and it's gonna cause us to lose leverage in the conflicts that we're currently experiencing. But there's good news as well. is that if we have the courage in the heart to take in what James says and to take in the truth of God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and not close down because you're sure that you're right, not build a wall because you have a story and therefore my story means that this word of God doesn't apply to me. If you won't do any of that, if you'll lower your defenses and apply what James has to say today, this morning has the potential to transform every relationship in your life, every relationship in your life. Now, if that happens, that's worth the price of admission that you paid to get in here, right? Which was zero, so my bar is really low. But hey, all right, here's where we're going. More than that, it can bring us to a point where we are no longer blaming other people for our unhappiness and discontentment. It is a strong word that James is going to give us. And here's what he says in James 4. What is the cause? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? I want us to look at those two phrases, among you versus within you, because our temptation is to think that the reason that I'm having problems in the relationships in my life, please hear me, is because of what's going on among us or among you, the circumstances. We have the temptation to look at all of us, or it's among us that is causing the problem. It's the circumstances they did and she did it and he did and this is what happened. But James says, you got it all wrong. The source, the origin, hear me, where it all begins, your conflict is not in what's going on among you. Your conflict is what's going on within you. Now, this is a really strong word that James says. James says, our relationship difficulties are birthed, they originate, not because the conflict among you, not because of two people that are going at it, but because of an internal conflict within us. Just relax, because he's going to get harder on us. He says, it's the internal conflict within us, among you and within you. In other words, James would say, the enemy is enemy. So you don't get that because you can't handle my flow. The enemy is enemy. Somebody put that on a shirt or something like that. And that's what James is saying. The enemy is enemy. You want to know what it all causes, where it all stems, where it all starts? It's not among us. It's within me. It's not among you. It's within you. And the reason that I have conflict here in all of my life is because I have conflict in here. And James says, and the reason that you battle here is because of the battle in here. And the reason that you fight here is because of the fight in here. And it cannot be contained. And it seeps out. And it spills out on those who are closest to you. Why do you think, if this wasn't true, why do you think the people closest to us are always the people we hurt the worst? Why is it that the ones that we love the most are the ones we have to apologize to the most? It's because there's something in me that can't be contained, and when it seeps out, when it oozes out, explodes out, the people closest to me are always the ones who are affected because the enemy is enemy. And James says, this is what you really need to grasp, is that when it can't be contained within you, it's not among you, it's within you. And when it pops, those closest to you are hit by the shrapnel. Now, I know we don't want to hear this because the old way is so much more convenient. The old way is saying, it's their fault. They caused it. Here's the circumstances. I can blame them. You did it. And James says, let's just stop this already. All right, you need to get over them. It's bigger than that. And here's what I want you to understand. If we're going to take the truth of today's message, the word of James, to heart, we are no longer free to respond the way that we've always responded. Here's what I mean. Typically, here's what happens. Please pay attention. When we get into conflict, here's what happens. You hurt me, I'm upset with you, and because I'm upset with you, I want everyone I know to be upset with you too. And that's why we tell our story, right? Over and over and over and over again, because I'm upset with you and I want everyone else that I know to be upset with you as well. I mean, look what they did to me. Let's hate them together. Can you believe what they did? And I want them to dislike you as much as I dislike you at this moment. And I want to pull them to my situation. I want to recruit them on my side. I want to have their empathy. I want to have their strength. And we together will build a war against you, because if I hate you, the only thing better than hating you alone is hating you as someone else. And so we tell our story. Hear me. The only thing better than blaming you for this conflict is someone else blaming you with me. And here's the hard word. If we're going to grasp on to the word of James today and get this new perspective that says the source of the conflict is not with the circumstances, but rather it originates because of the struggle or the desires within us, within me, meaning it's not just on you, this is on me, it's my responsibility. The moment I take responsibility for my my failings, my pride, my desires that got me sideways, hear me, the moment that I take responsibility for my part in this conflict, I lose my story. The moment that I say, wait a second now, the enemy is enemy, and the moment that I have to take responsibility for everything that I'm doing wrong and how I got sideways and I misinterpreted and I ran with something, I lose my story the moment I say, it's my fault as well. The moment I own responsibility for my attitude, my hurt, my words, my short temper, my anger, my jealousies, my insecurities, I don't get to tell my story anymore. I don't get to paint myself as the victim and them as the tyrant. And I don't get to recruit people on my side. And we have a difficult time with that, because no one wants to lose leverage in the relationship conflicts they have, because it's all we have left. And my story is really the only thing I have left to stick it to them every time. And so I tell the story as often as I can. And you say, well, yeah, I don't tell that story. Maybe you don't tell it to someone else, but you know you tell it to yourself over and over again. And you lie down at night and you're reliving it. And you see their post on Facebook and you're telling yourself all over again. And you're building the machine and the wheels are turning. And James says, it's bigger than that. It's not just the circumstances that you see. And if we're going to grab onto this word, we're going to lose leverage, because we're not able to tell our story in the way that we have. Look at that passage again. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from the desires that battle within you? See, the moment I have to say that it's something in me that led to this conflict, I lose leverage. I lose its, my story loses its power. And James says, all right, now we're on to something. Let's go a little bit deeper, because you're a believer now. Let's face the hard reality. Your external conflict is caused by an internal conflict that cannot be contained. The battle between you is caused by a battle within you that is raging out of control. Now, I understand, and as many people as we have here today, some people are saying, wait. You don't know my story. You don't know what they did and what happened. You don't know, so just stop it. I understand. You have a story, but can I tell you what I do with my story, if we're just honest? I rewrite the story so that I'm always the good guy and they're always the bad guy. And I rewrite the story so I'm the victim and they're the demon. And it feels natural and it feels normal, because why would I write a story where I'm the demon? And I'm not saying you don't have a story. But what James is saying is that let's look deeper than your story and in the relational conflict that you have going on. Where the origin stems from is not just in the circumstances, but it stems from within you. Now, hopefully the person you have conflict with is hearing something like this as well, and they're saying, well, it stems from within me. If James hasn't said enough already, look what he says in the first part of verse 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you, do they not come from the desires that battle within you? And here it is, in case you have to leave early, verse 2, he says, you want something and you don't get it. It's just a Bible right across your face right there, because James is going to say, I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty. He calls us over and he says, puts his arm around us. He says, can I just tell you really why you're upset? Can I tell you what the real problem is in your relationship and your marriage and the friends with the coworkers? Can I tell you what it really is? Because you want something and you're not getting
your way. He pats us on the butt and says, get out there now. I mean, that's kind of what it's like. He speaks a hard word. But if we want to mature, if we ever want to get past it, we have to be able to look at ourselves and say, the reason that I am blank, the reason why I'm angry, depressed, bitter, never want to see them again, never speak to them again, the reason I avoid them at church, the reason I stopped calling, stopped seeing is because there was something that I wanted and I didn't get it. And you're saying to me right now, but I deserve it. And you might. But let's at least say the reason is because there was something you wanted and you didn't get it. And when you didn't get it, push them away. And James says, this is the problem where it stems from. Here's the root. Here's where it originates, is that you want something and you didn't get it. Whether it was respect or kindness or accolades, attention, response, time, devotion, a phone call, an invitation, something you expected, something you needed, something you wanted, and it never came, and you're done. James says, that's really the problem, is there was something in you that you wanted, they didn't deliver it, and you blamed them for it. Here's what's interesting. If you have children, you can see this principle at work, and you can see deeper than the circumstances that's going on. See, if you have children, siblings are in tears, and they're yelling, and they're fighting and complaining over something as life-changing as who sits where in the van, right? And they're going crazy and fighting over why they did this and they have more toys and they got more nuggets than I did and they went last time and they picked last time and she sat in the front seat last time. And as parents, we know the truth of what's going on. The circumstances are not the source or the root of the issue. The root of the issue is that one of your children wants something and they're not getting it. And the conflict within them cannot be contained. And it seeps out until the fighting begins. And as parents, we see that with our children. And sometimes I wonder if God, our Father, looks down and says, come on now. The problem here is that you want something and you're not getting it. And so-and-so sat in the front seat last time and they got more than me and they said and she said and he didn't and why didn't they? And I promised and they didn't and I did my part. And God says, really? The root of the problem is there something that you want and you didn't get and you're mad and you're angry, frustrated, depressed because you didn't get what you wanted? And I'm not saying what you wanted was necessarily a bad thing. But James says, let's get down to the origin, where it starts, the cause. Second part of verse 2, he says, you want something, didn't get it. Whew, and then he says, and you kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want, and so you quarrel and fight. And see, this is where we feel, well, I'm off the hook now because I've never killed someone. So, James, yeah, I'm going to leave now. Well, look, James is talking to Christians. I don't think there was a killing spree going on. You know, heads or tails. I mean, I don't think that's what was happening. I think James was carrying this out to its final end of what we're capable to if the worst in the worst of circumstances. And when we don't get what we want, when we don't get what we feel we deserve, we may not literally kill someone, but let's face it, we've all said and done things to other people to get our own way. I mean, think of what you may have done to your husband or your wife to get what you wanted. I mean, think of maybe the way that you treated a friend or a coworker or a parent or a boss or coworkers. Maybe think of the people that maybe you ran over or that I ran over or I burnt down relationships and dropped a rumor and let a secret slip because I didn't get something that I wanted. And James says, at the end of the day, after all of after everything that we've done to get what you want, after our embellishment, our stories, our manipulations, he says, you still won't be satisfied because you ultimately still can't get what you want from someone else. Hear that. James says, you can try everything and quarrel and fight and manipulate and spread rumors and you can work it the way that you can work it. And at the end of the day, you still won't get what you want from that person. And this is important. Because you might even get what you think you want, but once you get it, you know what you find out? It's never enough. I thought this is what I wanted, and I got you to give it to me, and it felt good for a while, but my tank is running empty, it's running low, and I need more. See, there's something in me that is selfish, and I want things my way, and I know what I want, and I want you to give me what I want. But whether I realize it or not, this self is never completely satisfied. It is never. Now, we like to think that if I can just keep feeding myself, if I can get you to continue to give me everything that I want, that one day I'm going to be full. And I'm going to say, you know, I'm done. I don't need anything else from you. And now I'm going to focus on other people. But guess what? Self is never full, and it's never satisfied. And we think that we can satisfy this self appetite, but we can never satisfy this appetite. Have you ever eaten so much that you said, I'm never going to eat again? And 45 minutes later, you're opening the fridge? Yeah, I do it every Thanksgiving, right? I'm with the food, your last swallow stops about right here. And you're like, I am never. We went to Black Angus with some friends, and we ate so much that the last swallow, it felt like it stopped here. And we got in the car, and I was like, I don't even know if I can make the drive home. I am so full. It was about a 50-minute drive. We were down 24th and Camelback, and we got home, and I'm thinking, some dessert sounds pretty good about now. Because we can't set, our appetite is never fully satisfied. And reputation, relationships, power, prestige, accolades, respect, honor, acceptance, approval, we think if I can just get enough from you, if you can just feed me enough, if you can keep giving me what I want, then at one point I'm going to be full and I won't need it from you anymore. And the reality is you will never, ever be full. Because when you feed an appetite, it just increases the capacity for the appetite. Remember when you were young and a Big Mac would like stuff you? I can down 3 Big Macs pretty easy right now. I mean, look at me, all right? I know. The problem is that as I fed my appetite, my stomach just kept stretching and stretching. And the more that I feed the appetite, I'm just increasing the capacity of the appetite. And C.S. Lewis says, a glutton thinks as much about food as a man who is starving to death. See, it doesn't matter how much you get, you will always fixate on that which you want more of. And it's the same way in these relationships. And here's what it means. We've been tricked into thinking that if I can just get from others, get from you what I think that I need, acceptance, approval, respect, love, friendship, support, whatever, that I'll be full and I'll stay full. And so we enter into all kinds of relationships, marriage, friendships, coworkers, and we try to squeeze out of the other person all the stuff that I need. Everything that I want, everything that I see that's important, and I'll try to squeeze out of you my happiness and my contentment out of the people and the environments closest to us. And that thing that started as a hug around the neck now becomes a chokehold. You're like, give me what I want. I mean, that's what James is saying. Because we enter into a relationship, marriage really is anything. We enter into a new relationship and we say, my happiness is right there with you. And they're saying, my happiness lies right there with you. And we begin the squeezing process and we squeeze to death. And if you could just do these 5 things, I could be happy. And if you would just say this or not do that, then we could get along. But if you don't, it's your fault that I'm unhappy and we have relationship conflict. And so we blame our boss, our job, our community group, our church, our pastor, our friends, our neighbor, our kids, our parents, because if they would just give me what I want, I could be full and we could be better. And James says, stop it! You will never be full. And it seems normal because our normal approach is to see people in our lives as the source for what we need. If you just dozed off, this is the time to wake up. Because we see other people, including our spouses, any relationship, as the source of what I need. And so we tap them, we squeeze them until they pop, but eventually they run dry. Eventually they can't give you what you need and you blame them and you never and you couldn't and I needed and you didn't deliver. And when they're empty, we move on to find a new person to squeeze because you're the source of everything that I need. And James is saying, at the end of the day, you will never get enough. You'll get halfway, 3/4 of the way there, but they will never completely fill your void. You'll never stay full. Because the problem doesn't lie in someone else. The external problem is a result of the internal problem, because the enemy is enemy. Now the truth is that you probably have someone in your life today that is feeling the effects of being squeezed right now. Chances are there's someone in your life who you've made feel responsible for your condition, your happiness, your contentment. Maybe you're married to them and you're squeezing them. Or maybe it's a new job and you went to work thinking this is going to be the greatest place in the world to work, and you're squeezing your boss. You're squeezing your job because it was supposed to be this way. Maybe it's this church. You came into this church thinking, finally, this church will meet everything that I have inside of me. And you're beginning to squeeze the church or squeeze the pastor or squeeze the community group. And you, whatever it is, you're beginning to squeeze and squeeze, and you're never fully satisfied. Because the person, the circumstances, can never fill the void that you have. And this boyfriend that I have, finally, this boy, he will make me feel like the person that I've always dreamed, and I'm going to squeeze you. And if you don't give, I'll squeeze until you choke. Look at the third part of verse 2. James says, you don't have because you don't ask God. James says, here's a new way of looking at it. Instead of squeezing everything out of those people that are closest to you to get what you need, have you ever thought about taking that void to the origin of you? Have you ever thought about taking that need that you have and actually taking it to someone bigger than you? Have you considered putting a name exactly on what you're feeling and taking it to God? So there's relationship conflict, whatever the relationship, put a name on it. I'm feeling rejected, forgotten, overlooked, controlled, defeated, hopeless, bitter, bullied, lonely, manipulated, insecure. And how about instead of trying to squeeze what you need out of someone else, how about you take that to God and say, God, here's where I'm at right now. James is telling us, here's a new rule. The reason you don't have what you need, the reason I don't have what I need, is because I see myself as being able to get what I need from other people who I see as the source. And you think you can make it happen from others through your words or influence or manipulation or spread rumors or whatever you want, and you think you can make it work because you're able and they're your source. And James tells us in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good thing that you ever want in life, every good and perfect gift, it comes from God. And so ultimately, you're not the source. So instead of squeezing it out of your spouse or your friend or your boss, or go to a new source, the next time someone lets you down, instead of pile driving them, take what you're feeling and take them to your originator. The one who created you. The one who ultimately has the ability to give us what we need. In verse 3, it says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend them, that you may spend what you get on your own good pleasures. You ever try to bribe God? You ever try to say, I know we kind of, you know, with some pregnancy tests early on and later on, when we were 40 and thinking we might be pregnant, and I'm like, oh God, if we're not pregnant, I said, whatever, I will do this. I promise. You ever, come on, we all did that. I will go to church, God, every, that we try to bribe God. Here's what happens. We get caught in this cycle. We try to satisfy an appetite that can't be satisfied, and when you finally do get a little bit of, or when you finally can't get what you want, maybe you do go to God. James is saying, you're not seeing God as the source to fill the gap. You're seeing God as the provider to give you what you want to fill the gap. And oftentimes what you want to fill the gap and what God knows that you need to fill the gap are drastically different. He says, so stop going to God and saying, God, all right, come on, I'm taking all this to you. Here's what I want, God. And you're not seeing him as the source, as his presence can fill the gap. You're seeing him as a sugar daddy to give you what you want to fill the gap. And James says, in that case, God's going to say, no. Because what you're asking for is ultimately not what you need. Listen, let me close with this. The people in your life, maybe your wife or your husband or your boss or your friends, neighbors, coworkers, they're just the tools that God may use to enrich your life. But they're not the source of it all. And if I could leave you with something today, it would be to say, stop squeezing them. because they're not ultimately what, they can't give you what you ultimately need. And so James is saying, stop squeezing people for what you think you need and take it to God as your source and let him give you what you ultimately need. So today, if we take this to heart, we stop blaming other people. We stop blaming people for all of our problems and unhappiness and discontentment, and it frees me to say the problem starts in here. It's not among you, it's within you. See, if you show me two people who in mid-sentence, mid-conversation, mid-temper, mid-criticism can pause long enough to say, wait a second, before this goes any further, I need to confess something. This tension that we're starting to feel, it's in a me. The enemy is in a me. You show me a married couple like that, you show me friends who are able to stop mid-sentence, mid-outburst and say, wait a second, part of the problem is me, I will show you two people that will make it until they draw their last breath. Because I'm not blaming you and you're not blaming me, the first thing I do is say, okay, wait, there's something in me, I'm messed up in all of this. And maybe what I'm spilling out on you has less to do with you and more to do with me. And so there is your challenge today. James says, the source of your quarrels, where they originate, it's not among you. It's within you. And so next week, today, month from now, when that conflict starts up, you need to approach it differently. For some of us, you're in conflict, you've had relationships, you've separated relationships. James would say, come on. You're a Christian now. Start behaving like one. Take responsibility. And if at all possible, make that relationship right. Because it's not about he said, she said, they didn't, they did, I did, they didn't, and they promised and it never happened. It's bigger than that. It starts within you. Stand with me. I'm going to give us a few moments. It's a hard word today, and it's a hard word because of your story and my story, and I'm sure my story is right, and this doesn't apply to me. James is saying, come on. Come on. It's time to take a big step forward. Listen, I'm not saying that some of the worst things that have happened to you are not because someone didn't take advantage of you. All right? Don't take me, you know, sexual abuse and things. That's not what we're talking about right now. I'm talking about relationship conflict, the ordinary stuff that goes on all the time that magnifies and blows up until friendships are dissolved and eventually dissolves marriage. I know in some of your situations, your story, it's valid. I know. But I also know that some of the stories that we've built up, man, we've rewritten them because I have to be the good guy. And James says, there is no good guy. Lord, I would ask that you would gently affirm this word to us. Because I know what it feels like when someone is picking at our story. And so, Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would confirm the words. And I would ask that you would lead us into restoration. Maybe it's restoration with a relationship, in a relationship. Maybe it's never fully restored, but we're letting that person off the hook. I'm not going to squeeze you anymore. But I also believe, God, that there are some relationships in here that got sideways and out of control, and it's all because it wasn't among us, it was within us, and it started in me, and it got ugly, containment was lost, and someone got hit by the shrapnel. And so I pray that you would confirm the word. I pray that you would speak it over us. Holy Spirit, that you would bring people to mind. Maybe it's with our spouse and we're squeezing them. And ultimately, they can't give us what we need because our void is bigger than what they can provide. And I pray ultimately, God, that we begin to take the void to you and not ask you to give us what we want, but to ask you to fill the void with your presence, with your assurance, with your love, with who you created us to be, how you created us to be, and we would find our strength in that. So speak. Give us a step that we need to take. And I just feel for some, you can keep your eyes closed, that you felt an impression, Holy Spirit speaking to you to take a step, and man, as soon as it came to mind, you dismissed it. And you said, there's no way. And the Holy Spirit's bringing it again to you and saying, will you respond to the truth and the wisdom of God? So Lord, those that you are giving a prompting to, I pray today, this week, that they would take that step. Whatever that means, whatever it looks like. Pray for a blessing upon all here, that your Spirit would be near to us. We would sense the presence, the leading, and the goodness, and the love of God. I speak that upon our church. I bless them. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer, I'd like to pray for you. If you have somebody in mind that you need prayer over, a relationship, we'd pray for you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. I hope to see you next week. Don't forget about the Beth Moore Conference. To sign up for that, ladies.